This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870. Mike Dettelier, along with the Cajun Cannon, Bobby Hebert. And on our Oakwood Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, we got the women's head basketball coach, Kim Mulkey. Coach, thanks so much for joining us. Coach, I'm going to tell you a little story that I've never seen before. Every Monday night, Bobby and I, during the football season, we do the show from the Silver Slipper Casino in Mississippi.
In Bay St. Louis. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's mostly a football-oriented show and that sort of thing. But this Monday, I saw something I've never seen before. We've done it since 08. The crowd there was saying, wait a minute, come 6 o'clock, y'all put those big screen TVs on the Lady Tigers basketball game. We want to watch LSU play Tennessee. Coach, that is the greatest comp. And listen, the people that are watching it, these aren't what I would call avid women's basketball watching fans.
But they were that night.
They were, man, put those TVs on there, because we on stage, we can see to the sides of us, and they had the LSU-Tennessee game on the big screens, and everybody was watching. Even people that were playing, doing a little bit of gaming, they were turning and looking at the screen to see and watch the game. To me, that's an ultimate compliment of what you've done and what the Lady Tigers have accomplished.
Well, that's an honor, if you can say it that way. It's fun, and I think, you know, you said something that's really meaningful to me throughout my career. I've always wanted to bring the male into our arena that didn't give a flip about women's sports or women's basketball, and I've been able to do that. And I think it's because when I have conversations with guys, they're like, you would think you're talking to a dude. This woman knows sports. She talks like we do. She doesn't get offended. And I think when you see the elite of the elite women's players play, you at least have to respect it. And I always tell this cute story. I'm divorced now, but hell, I had to beat my husband, ex-husband, one-on-one for him to understand and respect that.
Had to humble
Kramer, my son, he doesn't play with us anymore. I brought him out there, and they were just slapping him all over the floor. So I think, you know, there's nothing worse than watching girls that can't play. But what is worse, I should say, what is worse is watching guys that can't play. When you see good basketball or anything that's good and excellent, you can't help but kind of look over there. And then in your area, you know, Mississippi, Louisiana, we're down here in the South, you kind of take a little interest.
You know, Coach Mulkey, I thought this is impressive. It's all about strategy. You know, how do you motivate your team to get them ready to play? Now, you take it one game at a time. But I'm looking at the Lady Vols, your competition. You know, they were 16-8, but they were 8-1 now in the SEC. They were 8-0 coming into the game. And I thought this was interesting. Unbelievable tough schedule with 5 of their 7 losses. Teams currently that were ranked no lower than number 17 in the AP poll and 3 in the top 10. And you look at the Vols were picked, but to finish 2nd behind a reigning national champion, South Carolina, ahead of LSU in the preseason predictions. So, obviously, you didn't forget that. You declared your team an underdog. Well, that's rightfully so, considering the preseason rankings. So, is that also from the mental perspective, how you deal with the team and say, look, no one is expect you to win? Because we're Tennessee in their tradition and looking at the preseason rankings and all that stuff.
First of all, it's not tradition. I throw tradition out the door. When Pat Summitt no longer coached, that tradition is gone. What it was is they should have been selected in front of us, because they had more experience. They brought in transfers who were seniors, more experience. And I get it. They've got a lot of depth. But what you do as a coach is we keep winning, and we keep getting criticized for a terrible non-conference schedule, and we're good with that. We don't pretend to be somebody we're right. not. So you say, why aren't we the underdog? Just because we're ranked third in the country, have a net of three, really – you know, we were picked third in the league. So if we beat them, according to the predictions of the coaches in the league, then we're doing something we weren't supposed to do. So I'm not throwing things out there just to stick on a wall to try to motivate them. I'm throwing out things that were the truth. They were picked to finish ahead of us.
Now, Coach Balke, to be honest, I take the Dennis Rodman approach that rebound, you got to want to rebound. Everybody wants to shoot or they want to score. I thought this was interesting that you look at Tennessee, how they were structured. You know, and you commented on that. They were, you know, outstanding on the boards. They had four starters taller than 6 feet. And then I look at the Volunteers out-rebounded LSU, which entered the game with the second-best rebounding margin in the SEC at plus 22.1. And in the first half, it was 27-20 in the first half, including 12 offensive rebounds. What did you tell them at halftime? Because you kept kept the score close, so to speak, but then you asserted yourself on the boards, and you had a 25-11 advantage in the second half. What did you do? You light a fire on them, or what?
Well, I didn't wait. If you watched that game closely, I didn't wait till halftime. I got up from a squat when they had five offensive rebounds right there in front of our bench, and I was adamant, and I called a timeout, and I lit a fire in them at that moment. They were out rebounding us. They were out hustling us to lose the ball. So I didn't wait till halftime. When you get somebody on your home floor that gets five offensive boards right in front of you, it's time to call a timeout and light a fire then. So I did it then. And then when we went in the locker room, I explained to them, here's what you're not doing. Angel Reese, you're a double-double every night. Well, you got 4-4. Well, yeah, you're guarding a player that's away from the basket, but you still got to turn around and go get us some rebounds. And then she ends up with a double-double. In the second half, you know how many offensive boards Tennessee had? Two.
Two. Oh, so whoa.
Quite,
hello.
Quite a different half.
Yeah, that's awesome, Coach Balke. Looking at, you know, Alexis Morris had a career-high 31 points. You talk about Angel Reese kept her streak of consecutive double-doubles going with 18 points. 17 rebounds. Is that something that you're not asking too much? Is she considered what they call the Bayou Barbie? Is that Angel Reese? Where they go, the Bayou Barbie, whatever. I mean, whatever that means. But all I know is
that's what ESPN engaged her.
So you're expecting a double double from her because she has that ability.
Well, she hasn't not had one in every game we've played, so everybody right. does. And I don't know who gave her the nickname of Bayou Barbie, but it fits her. We live in the Bayou. She's beautiful. She's got that Barbie doll look and those beautiful eyelashes and makeup and all the good stuff that I guess people describe Barbie to look like. But she came out in that second half and was a different kid.
You know, Coach Balke, I can tell you, I know you never look ahead, but I'm a look ahead because I'm a fan. And I think a number of LSU fans will look at this. And it just so happens, man, I wish y'all were playing on a Saturday, but I'll tune in on a Sunday. Look at the collision, so to speak, in Columbia against number one University of South Carolina. It's looming. We got to wait and see what's going to come about. But, man, they scheduled that game Super Bowl Sunday. I mean,
they did. I think our game is before Super Bowl starts, so
right.
maybe that'll give people a chance to watch, you know, that game and then – tune in to the Super Bowl. Yes, the fans, I get it. They're looking for that game. I understand it. But, you know, I'm thinking about Georgia's matchup zone tomorrow, and they press you in a 2-2-1 or 1-2-1-1 the whole game. So, yes, I understand, but I'm going to make it perfectly clear, Bobby. South Carolina is so good, I don't know that anybody can beat them. Will we fight like heck? You better believe we will. But they are so deep and so talented that sometimes I think they played bored because they know they can turn it on and anytime they want. They're that good. And we hope that we can give them a game there. We hope that we can grow in that game. And, you know, what did Herm Edwards say? That's why you play the game. And if the ones that are supposed to win always win, then let's just forfeit. You don't have to worry about it. But it doesn't work like that in athletics. And we're going to get ready for Georgia, get ready for A&M and the next few games this week. And if the 12th comes and we're still undefeated and they are, it's going to make for good talk.
You know, Coach Malkin, when I read this, it's like, man, this was like Katrina time. You got to go back to 2005 in that time frame. But you look at the crowd at the PMAC. I mean, all of a sudden, you got 15,157 people in that number, the largest PMAC crowd since the seating was reconfigured in 2005. Now, I know it's short and you want this to continue, but you have to be proud of that they're showing that much interest. Because you know why? You know what I say? If it's a sport, even if it's women's soccer, whatever, softball, or whatever it might be, like women's basketball, or track and field, in any sport, gymnastics, whatever it might be. If you're winning, people want to support a winner. Don't you think that kind of goes along with the territory? If you win, people want to be in that number.
How many people watched the Williams sisters when they played tennis? Okay.
Well, if you're,
think of that.
Yeah.
If you're watching the elite and you're watching how hard they play, how good they are, and you're watching things like that, you're going to turn it over. Now, you're always going to have the male ego at play. Some never going to do it. You're not, you know, I'm just not interested.
Right.
I get that. I have a son. I have all these male friends. I understand it, but I tell them this. If you'll come one time and you don't like it, don't come back. And ironically enough, they come back and they bring friends and they're like, this is fun. This atmosphere is crazy.
Coach, I know you always kind of watch what other coaches do. And your thoughts, Sean Payton sits out a year and now he's back in the NFL. Of what type impact a coach makes on a team? It doesn't matter if it's basketball, women's, men's, or also on the football side of it. Your thoughts on Sean returning back to the game after a year in hiatus where, you know, he did the television deal and everything else, but the impact of Payton to the Denver area?
Well, I can only speak coaching-wise. Pro sports is so different than college, guys. But let me just talk a little bit. I think all of us thought Kim Mulkey would stay at Baylor, retire, live happily ever after, dynasty built. I think all of us also thought Sean Payton would do the same thing. What was he, 16 years or how long?
Yeah, 16 years.
16,
the Saints,
correct.
Yeah.
So I don't think any of us saw that coming. And then when it did happen, you saw he's burnt out. He needs a breather. But then you realize he's too young. He's too young to step away permanently. He didn't leave under bad circumstances or anything like that. So now he's rejuvenated. And the right, sounds like to me from what I've read, the right situation presented itself to him. And he liked what he heard. And he'll win. He knows what he's doing. You can't deny that. What you will tell him is, bro, have you ever shoveled snow in the morning? We'll take hurricanes anytime over snow.
Oh, he's going to hire somebody to do
that. Yeah,
Kim.
Yeah, he's not going to do that, Kim. He's going to get
some. He's going to have some yard man to
still,
do that.
It's still cold, baby. I'll take these hurricanes and tornadoes and floods and everything else to wake up to that cold every day.
Now, Kim, when you look at, obviously, boy, whenever, you know, you could be a Final Four, you know, type team, and as far as, you know, look at recruiting and you try and entice players to come on, how has that affected, like, now? And it's all university because the game has changed compared to when you start coaching, name, image, and likeness, and you got the transfer report and all that. Is it just more work for you or more work for you and your staff or what?
Well, the NIL stuff, honestly, I stay away from it. Because back in our day, Bobby, that was cheating. You couldn't pay. You
right,
couldn't even
right,
go
right.
out to dinner with boosters or wash your clothes over there.
Right.
So I'm like, I don't want to learn all of that. But I don't want to be the one that's against it, because if you are, you're going to get left behind in recruiting. So LSU was one of the first institutions to embrace it. If you go back and look at all the advertisement in Times Square, it was LSU and NIL and all that stuff, and they were smart enough to embrace it. And I can tell you, it does matter. Brand matters now. These kids pay attention to it. The NIL stuff, they pay attention to it. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm so grateful that LSU has its own department in athletics that deals with it. I have assigned one of my coaches, you're the liaison, because I don't want to deal with it. They can't ask me in recruiting about, coach, what can you do for me? Because I'll tell them, oh, no, you have to wait and talk to our NIL people, right, and they can explain to you what's going on.
Yeah, all I know is if you got an Angel Reese type player, I'm going to hook you up with somebody. I don't know if you can even say that. But
No,
you,
we can't.
You can't even say that? Oh, well, whoever's in charge.
No, we can't touch it.
Well, whoever's in charge of NIL, they know who to pay. Come on.
when I bring them to campus, that's one of the visits they have is with our NIL department, and they can show them all the things the collective does for all the teams. You know, Flajay Johnson, the rapper on my team, she probably is top 10 in the country in NIL stuff.
Whoa.
And that's because she does so many things with music and everything else, and I can't imagine that Angel Reese is far behind her. It's here to stay.
Yeah.
You better embrace it. You better make sure as an institution that you're always promoting it and putting it out there, because somebody or outdo you.
Kim, quick scouting report on Georgia, who you're playing tomorrow.
They're going to press you the entire time. They have a new coach. She was at Central Florida forever. She actually built a dynasty there. No one ever thought she would leave, but she played at Georgia. So she brought all of her players with her. They match up in a 2-3 zone. We have not seen that much this year. We haven't seen much of a press, and we better handle it better than we did against Tennessee when they went to the press when we were up 14. So that's what you're going to see, and you're going to see it for 40 minutes. They will not deviate from that, no matter what the score is. So you're going to have to handle those two areas, and if we do and take care of the ball, we'll get better tomorrow because we haven't seen much zone.
You know, Coach Malk, I just go way back. I've always liked sports. I just like competitive sports, who's winning, who's losing. I look back, and I want you to explain to me. I look at, like, old school, when you were there, like Louisiana Tech. You talk about Pat Summitt at Tennessee. You look at Stanford. You look at UConn. All of a sudden, you look at the programs they established, what you did at Baylor, on and on. Where did all of a sudden South Carolina come out of nowhere? Now, you might say, well, Bobby, what are you talking about? I'm talking about even like old school. South Carolina wasn't as relevant and as dominant as they are right now. How did that come about?
Well, you're seeing the Power Five conference schools invest money in the women's basketball now. You're going to listen to this comment. I don't think there is a team in the country in women's basketball that makes money. Did you hear what I just said?
Whoa.
Because the men make the money when they get to the NCAA tournament. The dollar signs are off the charts. Football is the cash cow at every university. And then men's basketball. We could win national championship after national championship, and you're probably still going to have a deficit. And that included back in the day when Pat was at Tennessee,
right,
the UConn, and the it's just the way it is because you don't have those dollar signs with the NCAA tournament. So you have to evaluate as the president and the AD and the administration, what is the value of a dang good women's basketball team? And it starts with television coverage. See, the average fan will sit there, the young person that's playing girls' high school basketball, and see these teams on TV and see 15,000 in an arena and see people going crazy and go, wow, I want to be a part of that. You can't place a dollar value on the exposure that you can get if you will just invest in good coaching and keep those good coaches there. And that's the hard part, because a lot of times ADs are just looking at that dollar sign. They're looking at, you know, the revenue. They're looking at all those things. You're not going to get that in probably any women's sport. And that's just the truth. And I can deal with that, because what I will turn around and say, you can't put a dollar sign on the value that a Geno or a Pat or a Kim Mulkey or somebody has to that institution and into that state.
Now, you know, Coach Mulkey, before I let you go, I know you're a big baseball fan. Like, your son was a stud at LSU. He goes on with the Cardinals organization and all that. How about the preseason expectations with LSU baseball right now? What? Hey, I mean, it's like chart.
I can't wait. OJ, he's kind of quiet, you know, and I watch him and I'm thinking, okay, buddy, these expectations are good, but to whom much is given, much is expected. But he had to know that before he came. But they're supposed to be outstanding this year. I can't wait until our season's over and I can go sit and watch some baseball and some softball with the sun shining on me. Bobby, I've got professional baseball players at the major league level coming to the game tomorrow, calling Kramer for tickets because they're in town going to see Marucci for baseball bats tomorrow. I mean, the catcher for the Cubs, who's now with the Cardinals, the outfielder, yep, all of them are coming. See, those are people that wouldn't normally come to a women's basketball game. But what made them come? Probably Kramer, because they play with him.
Right.
Probably saw it on TV. You can't put a dollar value on that.
Coach, thanks so much for joining us tonight. We really appreciate it. And good luck tomorrow night against Georgia.
Hey guys, take care now.
Thank you so much. Women's head basketball coach Kim Mulkey, always great to have on. One of the best guests we have here on WWL Radio. We'll be back with more sports talk here on the Big 870.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.